challenged so. Deiphobus weighed the choice before him. Should he pair with some brave Trojan, going back to get him, or take Idomeneus on alone? It seemed more promising to him to join Aeneas, whom he discovered in the battle's rear, standing apart, resentful against Priam, as Priam slighted him among his peers. Deiphobus reached his side and said to him swiftly, "Counselor of Trojans, you must come defend your kinsman, if his death affects you. Follow me to protect Alcathous, your sister's husband, who made you his ward when you were still a small child in his house. The great spearman Idomeneus brought him down." The appeal aroused Aeneas. Craving battle, he charged Idomeneus, and he, no child to be overtaken by a qualm of fear, steadily waited like a mountain boar who knows his power, facing a noisy hunt in a lonely place. His backbone bristles rise, both eyes are fiery. Gnashing his tusks, he waits in fury to drive back dogs and men. Idomeneus, great spearman, so awaited without a backward step Aeneas's onset. But to his friends he called out, looking back at Aphareus, Ascalaphus, Deiphobus, and those two masters of the battle cry, Meriones and Antilochus, he sent an urgent cry to alert them. "This way, friends! Give me a hand here, I am alone! I have a nasty fear of the great runner, Aeneas, now upon me. He has power to kill, and has the bloom of youth that is the greatest strength of all. If we were matched in age as in our spirit in single fight, then quickly he or I should bear away the glory." As he spoke, with one mind all the others closed around him, taking position, shields hard on their shoulders. Aeneas, too, on his side, turned and called Deiphobus and Paris and Agenor, fellow captains of Trojans. Troops moved up behind him now, as a flock out of a pasture follows a ram to drink, and the shepherd's heart rejoices. So did Aeneas's heart rejoice to see the men-at-arms follow his lead. Both masses came together hand to hand, around Alcathous, long polished spear shafts crossing, and the bronze on the men's ribs rang like anvils from the blows they aimed at one another. Most of all, those peers of Ares, Aeneas and Idomeneus, strove with heartless bronze to rend each other. Aeneas made the first throw, but his adversary saw the aim and twisted to elude it, so that Aeneas's point went home in earth and stuck with quivering shaft the force he gave it with his great arm spent on the air. Idomeneus, for his part, thrust and hit Oenomaus mid-belly, breaking through his cuirass joint, and the bronze lance head spilt his guts like water.